Let's just commit our time, please, to the Lord. A word of opening prayer. Eternal God and our Father in heaven, we come to Thee today. And Lord, we're thankful again today that we can approach unto Thy throne of grace. And we pray, Lord, be pleased to come, meet with us, presence Thyself with us today. And may we be very conscious that God is here. So come and be with us, we pray. Aid us, help us in our worship. Lord, help us to praise Thee aright. In our Savior's name we ask. Amen. Hymn number 138 is our opening hymn of praise this morning. Hymn number 138, crown him with many crowns, the Lamb upon his throne. Hark how the heavenly anthem drowns all music but its own. 138, page 231, if you're following in our hymn books, the words will be on the screen as well. We'll stand together as we sing, please.
Thank you.
Let's come before the Lord again, please. In the attitude of prayer, we seek God's face and His presence and His help as we come to worship God. We do not come to worship God because of anything we are, anything we have done. We come to worship Him because of all that He has done. And we need His help, therefore, to worship Him aright today. Let's seek His face. Eternal God and our Father in heaven, we come, O God, to crown Thee, Lord of all. We come, O God, to exalt Thy great name. We come, O God, today to lift on high the name of our Savior. O God, we thank Thee today for the One who loved us, the One who on the cross of Calvary died, shed His precious blood, Lord, that we might be brought to God. We thank Thee, Lord, today for the experience, the hearts, Lord, of each one of Thy dear people, that joy of sins forgiven, Lord, that work of regenerating power, Lord, that by Thy Holy Spirit, Lord, You've taken us out of the darkness of our sin, out of the bondage of our sin, and brought us into new life in Jesus Christ. We thank Thee, Lord, today for each one in this meeting who's saved. We thank Thee, Lord, today that we can crown Thee Lord of our life. We thank Thee, O God, today for watching over us, Your protecting and preserving hand that has been upon us, Lord, throughout another week. We thank Thee, Lord, for Your mercies. We thank Thee, Lord, for the graces of God which have abounded toward us today. And Lord, in every day, and Lord, we thank Thee for everything that You have done for us, and Lord, for all that You continue to do for us. And Father, we pray that You would be pleased to come. And Lord, this day, this service of worship, Lord, we ask, O God, that You'll help us to worship our God, to exalt Him. Lord, we thank Thee today, Lord, that Thou art exalted far above all. We thank Thee, Lord, today that You are the One who is reigning supreme and sovereign far above all the affairs of men and nations. And our Father, we pray that today You will be pleased, Lord, that even by our worship, Lord, that Thy name would be glorified and Thy name would be exalted. Our Father, we pray that You'll aid us in our worship. Bless us around the Word of God. Bless us, O God, we pray, as we come to Thy Word. We pray, Lord, You'll come and, O Lord, speak to us out of the Word of God this morning. And, Lord, that we might be very conscious that God is here. We acknowledge, O Lord, that this is Thy day. Lord, this is Thy Word. This is Thy work. We are Thy people. And therefore, O God, we need Thy help today, Lord, as we come to worship Thee and to praise our God. Bless every head bowed in Thy presence. We thank Thee, Lord, for being with us throughout the week that has passed. We thank Thee, Lord, for bringing us safely to the house of God today. And our Father, we pray that You will be pleased to come and meet with us. Encourage our hearts today. Lord, realize there are many, Lord, hearts that are heavy today. Lord, many heads that hang low. Oh God, we thank Thee today through the Word of God that You can come and lift our hearts, lift our heads, we pray. Lord, help us to see our Savior. Lord, help us to find our strength and our support alone in Him. Our Father, we pray that You'll remember those who as yet do not know Thee as Savior. We pray, Lord, that this will be the day that they will come and put their faith and trust in the Lord, that they'll come and experience the joy of sins forgiven. Oh God, we pray that You'll speak to every waiting heart. Remember this area. Remember this community. Oh God, we pray around this church. We cry unto Thee today again for Ballyhackamore. We ask, oh God, that You'll be pleased, Lord, to save people out of their sin. Bring them to Thyself, oh God, we pray. And Lord, that we'll see God moving and God at work in this area. And so, Father, we commit our way to Thee. Remember, Lord, those who cannot gather with us today. We ask, oh God, today especially for those who are passing through hard and difficult times, burdened down with the cares of life. Draw near to them, O God. May they know what it is, Lord, for the Lord to be the lifter up of their heads. Remember, Lord, those in the congregation who are unwell. Touch them. Minister to their needs. O God, we ask of Thee. Our Father, we would not be unmindful today of that family there in Macrofelt. We ask, O God, today for the Jordan family. Lord, as they would pass through grief, Lord, unspeakable, O God, we just pray, Lord, You'd be pleased just to draw very near to Johnny and to Claire and to their families. Lord, to the wider family circle, we ask, O God, in the midst of this very dark and deep valley, may they know God's grace abounding toward them. May they know the strength of God. May they, Lord, know the peace that only the Lord can give, even in the midst of such sorrow and such grief. Our Father, we pray that You'll even help tomorrow in the funeral service. Give that very special grace that is needed. And Lord, draw near. And Lord, even speak, Lord, through the death of this little one. And Lord, we pray that others will come to know Jesus Christ. Lord, that they'll be prepared and be ready. Our Father, we pray for our nation. We pray, Lord, for every nation of this world at this time. O God, we just cry unto Thee for those who are serving Thee, Lord, in foreign lands. Encourage them. We ask, O God, that You'll remember, Lord, those who are being persecuted for their faith today. We ask, O God, that You'll be pleased to help them and strengthen them, Lord, in their stand for the Savior. And, Lord, overthrow the plans of evil rulers, Lord, as they would seek to hinder and halt the work of God. Our Father, we just look to Thee. Give the increase, O God, we pray. And, Lord, we thank Thee for what You are doing. We thank the Lord for souls that are being saved. O God, we pray that while on others are calling, do not pass us by. So hear and answer prayer. Continue on with us now. Give us help, O God, we ask. In the Savior's name we ask all of these things, and for His honor and glory alone. Amen. Amen. We're turning this morning the Word of God to the book of Isaiah, please. The book of Isaiah and the chapter 50. Isaiah chapter 50. I'm going to read this chapter together. Let's hear the word of the Lord. Isaiah chapter 50 and the verse number 1. Thus saith the Lord, where is the bill of your mother's divorcement whom I have put away? Or which of my creditors is to whom I have sold you? Behold, for your iniquities have you sold yourselves, and for your transgressions is your mother put away. Wherefore, when I came, was there no man? When I called, was there none to answer? Is my hand shortened at all, that it cannot redeem? Or have I no power to deliver? Behold, at my rebuke, I dry up the sea. I make the rivers a wilderness. Their fish stinketh, because there is no water, and dieth for thirst. I clothe the heavens with blackness, and I make sackcloth their covering. The Lord God hath given me the tongue of the learned, that I should know how to speak a word in season to him that is weary. He wakeneth morning by morning. He wakeneth my ear to hear as the learned. The Lord God hath opened mine ear, and I was not rebellious, neither turned away back. I gave my back to the smiters, and my cheeks to them that plucked off the hair. I hid not my face from shame and spitting. For the Lord God will help me, therefore shall I not be confounded. Therefore have I set my face like a flint, and I know that I shall not be ashamed. He is near that justifieth me. Who will contend with me? Let us stand together. Who is mine adversary? Let him come near to me. Behold, the Lord God will help me. Who is he that shall condemn me? Lo, they all shall wax old as a garment. The moth shall eat them up. Who is among you that feareth the Lord, that obeyeth the voice of his servant, that walketh in darkness and hath no light? Let him trust in the name of the Lord and stay upon his God. Behold, all ye that kindle a fire, that compass yourselves about with sparks, walk in the light of your fire and in the sparks that ye have kindled. This shall ye have of mine hand. Ye shall lie down in sorrow. Amen. May the Lord be pleased to bless the reading of his word to all of our hearts. Let me at this stage welcome you all along this morning to our morning worship service. We're glad to see you in God's house, and in the Savior's great and worthy name we give you that special welcome today. To those who are visiting with us as well, we welcome you in the Savior's name. We pray the Lord will bless you as you meet with us today. Also to those who are watching online, a welcome to you as well. Can I just remind you of the announcements that lie before us today and the week in the will of the Lord. We have the Lord's table immediately after the service today. And so please do remember that. You know and love the Lord, then you're invited to stay behind for that time around the table of the Lord after the morning service. Then we have our gospel meeting tonight at 6:30, and we invite you back to our gospel meeting. We'd love to see you back again to the gospel service on a Sunday night. Don't come just once on a Sunday. Come twice on a Sunday. Spend the day in the house of the Lord. And so we encourage you, come back, join with us tonight for our gospel meeting. Do remember the prayer season at 6:00 beforehand. I'll be here to preach, God willing, and Michael and Hazel Saunderson will be along to sing tonight. Then on Tuesday night at 8 o'clock, that will be a deputation meeting, and our brother, the Reverend Craig Dennison, will be here and tell of the work on behalf of the Trinitarian Bible Society. And so please do remember that as our brother comes and speaks to us on Tuesday night, 8 o'clock, and there will be an offering lifted to support the work of TBS. Therefore, our young people, there is a youth rally, youth council youth rally this Friday night at 8 o'clock, and that's been held in our Macrofelt Church, and all of our young people are invited along to that. Next Lord's Day, the morning worship service, before the morning worship service, we have our Sunday school and Bible class. They recommence next Sunday morning at 10:15, and so please to remember that. Perhaps you know children in your family, children in your neighborhood who could come along to Sunday school. Why not invite them along? And more than that, no, why not bring them along to Sunday school next Sunday morning, 10:15, as it recommences for another term. Then the morning worship service at 11:30. During that service, our brother Adam will be speaking to us about his first year in college. His first year is over now. Enters into a second year in just a few weeks' time. But he will be along to report to us of his first year in college. And also next Sunday morning, there will be an offering lifted to support Adam. And so all the money that is lifted next Sunday morning will go to support our brother Adam by way of a love gift. Then next Sunday afternoon, the Sunday School in Redburn Community Centre recommences as well at 2:30. And again, please do remember that. And if you know children in that area, why not invite them along and bring them along to the community centre there in Redburn for the Sunday School 2:30. Next Sunday night sees the recommencement of our family services. And our sister June Bird from our Coleraine Church will be along next Sunday evening to testify. June was brought up in the Jehovah's Witness cult and movement, and she'll be along to tell us of how the Lord saved her and reached her and opened her eyes. And we're thankful for what the Lord has done in her sister's life, and I know you'll be blessed as you hear her testimony next Sunday night. So please do remember that. We'll also have a singer, Brother Timothy Conn, will be along to sing next Sunday evening. So please make that known. Plan to be here. Not only come yourself, but why not invite somebody along? The good old-fashioned way of inviting people along to the gospel service is still very much in fashion. And so you invite someone along to that family service next Sunday night. Have a little letter here I want to read out from Adrian and Maureen Ewing. They write to say that we would like to thank everyone for their kindness and prayerful support on the recent passing of our dear daughter Judith. To all who called at her home, sent cards, and those who attended her funeral, special thanks to Rachel Wilson and Jean McVeigh, whose help was invaluable in our home. Yours in Christ, Maureen and Adrian Ewing. And please do remember them both in your prayers. Remember David and little Sam as well in the days that lie ahead. A few other announcements. We have the graduation and commencement service for the Whitfield College of the Bible. That will take place next Monday night, the 11th of September, at 8 o'clock in our Martyrs Church. And as we said last week, there are a few with close connections to our own congregation here in Sandown who will be graduating next Monday night and will be licensed for the gospel ministry. Our brother David McCauley and also our brother Glenn Hamilton, who we know well. Both of them have been preaching here on occasions past. And so it would be good if there was a good representation here from Sandown as these brethren are licensed along with Samuel Fitton as well for the gospel ministry. So that's Monday the 11th, tomorrow night week, in our Martyrs Church at 8 p.m. Moderator will be preaching and there'll be tea afterwards as well. Then our Explorers Bible Club recommences on Tuesday the 12th of September, and Youth Fellowship commences that week as well, Friday the 15th of September. So please do keep all these in prayer and do be much in prayer as all these works start back up again. our church outing, Saturday the 16th of September, leaving here at 7:45 in the morning. If you've got your name down, please, to John, then please do get your money paid as soon as possible. That would be much appreciated. Then we want to send our best wishes to Joshua and to Anna, Joshua Roberts and Anna Haber, as they will get married here in the church on Friday coming. And we pray the Lord will bless them and be near to them, especially on Friday as they come together in marriage. And I am instructed to say that you're all invited to the service next this Friday at 12:30. So if you would like to come and join Joshua and Anna and their families, then you are welcome to that service here in the church, Sandown, at 12:30 next Sunday. But do keep them, or next Friday, do keep them, please, much in your prayers. We mentioned our brother Adam. He has finished his first year and commencing second year in a few weeks' time. We want to commend Adam for the excellent set of results that he has achieved this year. We didn't expect anything else, really, but he really has excelled himself, and only in first year, and we pray the Lord will bless him as he seeks to study over the years that are ahead. At our presbytery meeting on Friday night, our new moderator was installed, the Reverend Samuel Murray, as new moderator of the church, and also the Reverend Ian Brown was elected as deputy moderator. And we would also ask you to remember one of our licensed ministers, our brother, Mr. David Wilson. David is originally from our Clocker Valley Church, but David has received and accepted a call to the church in Ballyclare to be their new minister. And so please do remember him as he takes up the work of God there in Ballyclare in a few weeks' time. There is a special rally that has been organized by our presbytery. It's a rally against the RSE, these education, not only proposals, but actually plans and legislation that has now come in to our province. And there is a rally speaking against that on Saturday the 30th of September at 7 p.m. That will be in the Martyrs Church on that night, Saturday the 30th of September at 7 p.m. And that's open to everybody, parents, grandparents, everybody. You are invited along to that special rally. Our brother Callum Webster from the Christian Institute, who we know well, will be the speaker on that occasion. And I know you'll be blessed and saddened as well as you listen to all that is going on at this time, particularly amongst the children and our young people. But if you're free, then you'd be more than welcome along to that special rally against these proposals, this legislation that has come in. That's in the Martyrs Church, Saturday the 30th of September at 7 p.m. Note the time, 7 p.m., and our brother Callum Webster will be speaking. Some magazines available for you today. Our own Sandown Herald available, also the LTBS Quarterly, and the latest edition of the Vision magazine. They're all available and they'll be handed to you as you leave. There should be one for every family. They're all free of charge. Do remember the offering boxes. They're available there as you leave for your tithes and your offerings. These are all the announcements, and we make them as always subject to the Lord's will. We're going to sing another hymn at this time. We're going to sing a hymn that we've been learning throughout this year, Christ is Mine for Evermore. We'll stand after we get the introduction and sing this hymn, please.
Thank you.
we can do much better. So we're going to go back to the start, and we're going to start that again. And let's really sing it. Let's keep up with the organ and the piano, and don't drag it. Don't be dragging singing, or I'll get very cross and very annoyed. Let's keep up with the organ and the piano. Let's really sing it. We know this hymn very well, and let's sing it with all of our hearts. So let's keep up with the music, and we'll start again, Minor Days That God Has Numbered. Thank you. Turning back again, please, to Isaiah chapter 50. Isaiah chapter 50. I'm going to speak this morning on the subject of divine directives for dark days. Divine directives for dark days. In the middle of verse 10, we read, "But walketh in darkness." Walketh in darkness. Just let's still our hearts, please, as we come to God's word. Just now, eternal God and our Father in heaven, we thank thee again for thy precious truth. We thank thee, O God, today for the word. We thank thee, O God, that this is thy word. We're not coming, Lord, to consider, Lord, what man would say. We're not coming today to consider what man would have to idolize about. Or, Lord, we thank thee today that we're coming to the Word of God. We're coming, O God, to what God would say, His instruction. And Heavenly Father, we pray that you will be pleased, therefore, by the Spirit of the living God, reveal thyself to us, speak to us out of the Word of God today. Come, O God, we pray. And Lord, may we hear the voice of the Lord speak into every wailing heart. O God, we thank thee today that this is a living word. This is not, Lord, some dead book. But this is the living word of God. Come, O God, make that word live in our hearts, we pray. O God, we pray that you'll remove every distracting thought. Bind the strong man just now. Help us, Lord, to be taken up with Christ. Help us, Lord, to be taken up with the word of God. So hear and answer prayer. Just help us now. In the Savior's name we ask. Amen. Infidelity immorality, and idolatry. They were all rampant in the day and period of time into which God's man, Isaiah, was called to minister. There had been a widespread departure from the law of God. There had been a widespread setting aside of the Word of God and of the morals of God's law. Sin was raging. Sin was rampant. And indeed, sin was reigning in the land at that time. And Isaiah was called to minister to such a people and to such a nation. And instead of running after God and pursuing a holy life, he was ministering to a people who were running away from God, who wanted nothing to do with the ways or the word of God. And this was no easy task for God's servant as he sought to minister to such a wayward and to a rebellious people in such a time of national falling away. But right at the very commencement of his prophecy in Isaiah chapter 1, he speaks about a remnant, a very small group of people who had remained faithful and true to his word. In spite of all of the darkness, spiritual darkness that there was in the land at that time, there was a group who remained faithful. And it is to this group of people, this remnant of God's people, that Isaiah addresses, especially here in chapter 50. These were people who, as we see from verse number 10, feared the Lord. These were people who obeyed the voice of his servant. These were people who were spiritual people, who were godly people, and yet these are people who were walking in dark days. A day when it was increasingly difficult to be a Christian. A day when it was increasingly difficult to stand for the Word of God. They were dark days. And yet as they walked through these days of darkness, as they served the Lord, as they sought to live for God in such a day, there was a directive, there was instruction given to these people as to what they should do. How they should handle the days of darkness that they were called to pass through. And you know, folks, what an up-to-date word we really have here in Isaiah 50 and verse 10. How current is the Word of God? Because are we not living today in a day of darkness? A day of great spiritual falling away. And a day as well when so many of God's people are suffering all sorts of sufferings. And yet the Lord gives us instruction. The Lord gives us here his directive as to how we can continue on, press on, and serve on. Maybe as you sit in God's house this morning, you find yourself in such a place of darkness today. Yes, we have the spiritual darkness all around us. But even in your own heart and life, you've come to a point and you're passing through a time that is very, very dark. A time that is very difficult. You're in a hard place today. But I want you to see here from the Word of God that there are divine directives. There's instructions. There's teaching here for us for such dark days. The first directive that I want us to see here that I believe comes from the Word of God is that we are to expect suffering. We are to expect suffering. In verse 10, we read that walketh in darkness. There is an expectation that there will be days of darkness. There is an expectation there in those words that there will be days of difficulty, days of trial, days of hardship in our living for God. We are to expect it. Dark days when it seems that your labor for God is in vain. Dark days when it seems that no matter what you do or how you try to please God or serve God, it all seems to be pointless. This darkness here in verse number 10 is certainly not the darkness of sin or ignorance. It's not the darkness of someone who's walking in a backslidden state, because as we've already seen from verse 10, these are people who fear the Lord. These are people who are obeying the voice of His servant, and yet as they follow the path of righteousness and follow the path of holiness, they are walking in a time of darkness. See, if we follow Christ, if we serve Him, we seek to love Him, then there will be times when our pathway will be a pathway of darkness. You trace the accounts of God's people, and often very many of them recall to experience periods of darkness as well. The prophet Jeremiah, a man who was called of God, but labored in such a hard and a difficult period in the nation's history. And for 40 years, he preached. And for 40 years, nobody listened to him. For 40 years, he labored and he worked. And yet it seemed to be all in vain. It was a dark period. The prophet Elijah, who saw mighty things accomplished for God in Mount Carmel, and just a few hours later, where is he? He's in a dark place. He's under the juniper tree. He's wishing his life to be taken away. It was a dark time for Elijah. And so there are times when the people of God are called to pass through hard and difficult times. But it is through such times that we can experience the nearness and the presence of God. As you walk through the darkness just now, whatever darkness it may be, these dark days, these days which are trials of grace, there are precious truths that we can glean, that we can get in such dark days. And as the prophet here speaks through the Holy Spirit, of course, he's talking about walking in darkness. This is not just something imaginary. This is something that is real. A very serious situation. This darkness can come in a variety of different forms. There can be darkness emotionally. And the mind is full of darkness, and you find yourself in a very dark place emotionally. There's also darkness physically because of some pain or affliction, some sickness that has overcome your body, and you're in pain, and it's a very dark time. It's a very hard time. There's also darkness ecclesiastically. In the church, the spiritual state of the nation, the spiritual temperature of our land is so low at this time. And it seems to be little point in serving the Lord. There seems to be little advantage in continuing on. And because of all of these things and many, many others, you can come into that place of darkness, place of great trial, place of great hardship. The hymn writer said, "Days of darkness still come o'er me. Sorrow's paths I often tread. But His presence still is with me. By His guiding hand
I'm led.
Days of darkness still will come over the people of God. And the reality is, folks, that those days of darkness probably will not cease until we are called home to glory. But even in these days of darkness, even in these times, while we are to expect them, we are to prove the grace of God. Christ was in a dark place as well. Christ was in a place of great sorrow and suffering in his life. Christ knew what it was for his heart to be exceedingly sorrowful, even unto death. Christ knew what it was to get before his Father in a very dark place there in the Garden of Gethsemane. Christ knew what it was to endure the greatest darkness, the darkness and the blackness of Calvary. The words of Isaiah chapter 50 are actually one of the servant songs of Isaiah. There are four servant songs in the book of Isaiah. And the words of chapter 50 here are the words of the third of those servant songs, the songs of Christ, of course, who is the servant. These are songs that speak about Christ's ministry, speak about his obedience, speak about his service. But it is especially here in Isaiah chapter 50 that this song speaks about the suffering of Christ. The suffering of Christ. You look at verse number 6. And verse 6 forms part of this servant song. He says, I gave my back to the smiters and my cheeks to them that plucked off the hair. I hid not my face from shame and spitting. Here's a time of great suffering for Christ. And then he turns his attention to his people in verse 10 and speaks about those who walk in darkness. In other words, he's saying, you are to expect this suffering too. You're to expect the dark days. Those days when you fear the Lord, those days when you obey the voice of the Lord, those days when you remain faithful and true to the Lord, there seems to be little fruit or labor for your service. You're to expect such days. Days like verse 5, when the Lord God hath opened mine ear, and I was not rebellious, neither turned away back. We are to expect such days even in our living and our service for the Lord. Sometimes we fall into the notion that if we're serving the Lord faithfully and seeking to do what the Lord has called us to do, that there will not be these days of darkness. There will not be the days of hardship. But then, of course, we always apply human reasoning and human rationale to the thinking of God. And that will never work. You see, to our human reasoning, it is, if I'm faithful to God, if I'm serving God, if I'm seeking to live for God, then I shouldn't have such hard and difficult times. I shouldn't expect to pass through days of darkness. Yet the Lord is telling us here the exact opposite. Even when you do fear the Lord, even when you are serving the Lord, even when you are remaining faithful to the Lord, you will have those days of darkness. You will have those days of suffering. If you turn over to the New Testament, to the book of Acts, Acts chapter 9. Acts chapter 9 is the chapter dealing with the conversion of Saul of Tarsus. And he's been brought to Ananias' house. And the Lord has spoken to Ananias, and told him what he is to say to Saul. But notice the words of verse 9, Acts chapter 9. Sorry, the verse 16. Acts chapter 9 and the verse 16. And the Lord here speaking to Ananias, the words that he then is to speak to Saul. And he says, "For I will show him how great things he must suffer for my name's sake. I will show him how great things he must suffer for my name's sake." Outside of the Lord Jesus Christ, there is no greater preacher or no greater missionary, no greater laborer, no greater servant of the Lord than the one who became the Apostle Paul. And yet, the Lord says, he's going to have to suffer for my name's sake. Just because he's laboring, just because he's working, just because he's doing the will of God, doesn't mean that there won't be days of darkness, doesn't mean that there won't be days of suffering. And Paul knew what it was to suffer. On over in Acts chapter 14. Acts chapter 14, and we come to the account of Paul, and in verse 22, we read Acts chapter 14 and the verse 22, confirming the souls of the disciples and exhorting them to continue in the faith, that we must through much tribulation enter into the kingdom of God. Here's Paul speaking to the followers of Christ. Here's Paul speaking to those that were in Iconium and in Antioch who were serving the Lord, seeking to follow the Lord faithfully. And he says, we must, through much tribulation, enter into the kingdom of God. Now, you may have a different eschatological viewpoint to me. That's fine. But we're not waiting for a great tribulation. We're in a great tribulation right now. We've always been in that time of much tribulation. And Paul here, as he speaks to those who were with him and those who were laboring with him, exhorting them to continue in the faith, that we must, through much tribulation, enter into the kingdom of God. He's not saying it's going to be all smooth sailing to heaven. He's saying there's going to be tribulation. You're going to expect suffering. Just one final reference. Go on over to the book of 1 Thessalonians. 1 Thessalonians in the chapter 3. First Thessalonians chapter 3, and again, Paul writing here, writing to the church at Thessalonica. Verse 2, he says, "And sent Timotheus, our brother and minister of God and our fellow laborer in the gospel of Christ, to establish you and to comfort you concerning your faith, that no man should be moved by these afflictions. For yourselves know that we are appointed thereunto." In other words, as he writes to the believers in Thessalonica, he says, these afflictions, this suffering, it's all part of the plan and purposes of God for your life. Verse 4, he says, "For verily, when we were with you, we told you before that we should suffer tribulation, even as it came to pass, and ye knew." In other words, he has obviously warned the church in Thessalonica, you're to expect suffering. These new believers, this newly formed church, Paul, before he leaves them, he says, you're going to have trouble. You're going to expect suffering. And Paul now writing to them sometime later, and he says, I told you. Now you know. walking in darkness is the experience of the people of God. We are to expect suffering. We are not to think it, as Peter says, some strange thing. But what further instruction then is given to us? We are told, first of all, we're instructed, we're directed, we should expect the suffering. But if you turn back to Isaiah chapter 50, we see something else here. Not only are we to expect suffering for the cause of Christ when we remain faithful to Christ, but we should also then, secondly, we should exhibit steadfastness. So yes, we're to expect the suffering, but now we're to exhibit steadfastness. We're to remain faithful. We're to be consistent, even in the days of darkness and in the days of hardship. Isn't it the easiest thing in the world? When you're passing through a hard and difficult time, just to give up on God? Isn't the easiest thing in the world that when you're passing through this time of darkness and you're walking in darkness, just to walk away from God? Sadly, too many do. Leave your place and post of duty and service when the going gets tough. When the darkness comes and overwhelms you and overcomes you, what's the most natural thing to do? I leave it all. I'll not be as faithful as I was. I'll not be as steadfast in my faith as I was. Often maybe in the mind of some, the idea is to come back to it. Leave off your faith for a time and then come back to it. And I say to you today from experience, you leave off your faith, you leave off following God, and you follow God even afar off in the midst of your darkness and your trouble, it will be so much harder to get back. And the old devil will come in and the old devil will tell you all sorts of lies and rubbish. And is the church of Jesus Christ today not littered, sadly, with those who ran well, walked well, yet because of some darkness, some trouble in their life, now they're walking afar off? Left off their faith, thinking that would help. The worst thing you or I can do in the days of darkness is to leave off our faith and to leave off following God. Notice the word there in verse 10 of Isaiah chapter 50, that walketh in darkness. The word, the sense, the original Hebrew word is about continuing to walk. In other words, keep on walking, keep on living, keep on serving, keep on witnessing for God. Don't give up on your service for God. You go back to those words in the opening part of Isaiah chapter 50, the words of this servant's song, the example of Christ. And we see here that in the midst of the darkness that Christ experienced, we see his faithfulness. He's the greatest example, of course, for us. You look at verse number 4. The Lord God hath given me the tongue of the learned, that I should know how to speak a word in season to him that is weary. Here we see one of the most vital components and aids that will help us to remain faithful in our service for God, even in the days of darkness. What is it? It is by getting a word from God. It is by not neglecting God's word, our reading of it, our seeking of his will for our lives, even in the days of darkness. You see in verse 4 there, at the end of it, he says, he wakeneth mine ear to hear as the learned. How do we hear what God would have to say to us? In our days of darkness and our days of trouble, it's in his word. One of the worst things you can do in your days of darkness is to leave off your reading of the word of God. Here is Christ, and yet he is remaining faithful to his Father. He is remaining steadfast. He is seeking that word. He is getting that word so that then he can speak that word. That steadfastness continues even in verse 6. I gave my back to the smiters, my cheeks to them that plucked off the hair. I hid not my face from shame and spitting the pain and the suffering and the agonies of the cross. Yet through it all, he remained faithful. He remained faithful. Dear suffering saint today, don't allow the darkness of your soul, the darkness of your situations to cause you to wander from God. Because the greatest example of our faith, the greatest demonstration of our faith, is not when we're on the mountaintop. It's easy to sing, I love Jesus on the mountaintop. It's easy to sing, I love the Lord, when everything is going well. But I tell you, when you're in the valley of darkness and despair, it's when you sing, I love Jesus there, that your faith really shines through. Here in these days of darkness, this time of darkness, these are times when we can grow and advance and mature in our Christian living and service for God. I've said it before, that the days when we get closest to the Lord are the days of the darkest times in our life. You just cast a thought over your life. Is that not the case? Days of darkness when the Lord drew near and you grew in your faith and you experienced God's grace and you knew that he was near, that you knew he and he alone was carrying you through. Someone has said that adversity is God's sandpaper for changing his people. Pain is God's exercise program for strengthening our faith. Trials have a purpose. In Romans chapter 5, and the verses 3 to 4, we read that not only so, Paul speaking here to the church at Rome, not only so, but we glory in tribulations. Glory in tribulations. We don't glory in tribulations in the natural man. This is only a life that is touched by grace, that is living close to the Lord, that is able to say we glory in tribulations. Why? Knowing that tribulation worketh patience, and patience experience, and experience hope, and hope maketh not ashamed. He knew that God was at work. He knew that God was doing something in the midst of the tribulation, and because of that, that enabled him to keep on going. That enabled him to keep on serving the Lord. James wrote his epistle, and the opening words of that letter, he said, my brethren, count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptations or troubles. knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. Count it all joy. These are words that are far from the natural mind when troubles come. And yet, whenever we see that behind all the dark providences of God, there is a loving, caring Heavenly Father who has planned our way, who knows our way, then that will enable us to remain faithful and to keep on walking. Abraham Wright, an old Puritan pastor, he said, I am mended by my sickness. He said, I am enriched by my poverty. He said, I am strengthened by my weakness. He said, what fools we are then to frown on our afflictions. He was able to count it all joy when he fell into diverse troubles and temptations. And folks, it is when we grasp that truth of the purposes of God, of the providences of God, of allowing us for his plan and purpose to walk through such days of darkness, that will enable us to continue on. What a testimony it is to an ungodly world as they see you through your time of darkness, still serving the Lord. What a testimony that is to the world. And so therefore, this directive is that we are to expect suffering. We are to exhibit steadfastness, but finally we are to experience strengthening. You go back to Romans or Isaiah chapter 50 and the verse 10. What's the advice here? What's the counsel to those who are walking in darkness? Let him trust in the name of the Lord. Let him trust in the name of the Lord and stay upon his God. You say, but there has to be something more. There has to be something extra. No. Trust and obey. For there's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey. You see, there is strengthening here to be experienced for the dark days. And it is just by an entire, wholehearted trust in the Lord, saying to the Lord, I don't know why you're doing what you're doing, but I trust you. The one who is the all-wise God, the one who is the all-knowing God, I trust. To know that he is our rock on which we stand, to know that he is our strength when we have no weakness, that's what it is to trust the Lord. And to know that he will bring us through. To know that through the days of trouble and trial, that through the days of darkness, he's not going to leave you. And to know that God is working out a marvelous plan. A plan we perhaps won't know anything about until we get to glory. In the darkness of Penuel that night when Jacob wrestled with God, God touched him, God changed him, and Jacob's life was different. When was his life changed? When was his walk with God altered? In the darkness of the night at Penuel. And that is where we experience the Lord in a real way And from that time on, although his walk was different, yet he was strengthened as a result of the darkness of that night at Penuel. And folks, we can experience the strengthening hand of the Lord upon us even in the midst of our darkness too. What are the divine directives for us in dark days? Well, we are to expect the suffering. And during this suffering, we are to exhibit steadfastness. We are to continue on. And as we continue on, then we are to experience His strength, to help us to press on and to labor on. Who is among you that feareth the Lord, that obeyeth the voice of His servant, that walketh in darkness and hath no light? Let him trust in the name of the Lord and stay upon His God. You're in darkness today. Maybe some of you today are still in the darkness of your sin. Still in the bondage of your sin, and you're held in that darkness. It's only the light of Christ, the gospel of Jesus Christ, that can save you, release you, give you a purpose and give you a meaning. So that when you pass through the days of darkness, you'll have a friend that will never leave you, never forsake you. Child of God, in the days of darkness, think it not strange. In the days of darkness, press on, keep on, going on for God. And in the days of darkness, experience the strength that He alone can give us for such days. Let's bow in prayer.